God, he reigns from heaven above with wisdom, power, and love. Our God is an awesome God. Our God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above with wisdom, power, and love. Our God is an awesome God. Our God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above with some power and love. Our God is an awesome God. Our God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above with wisdom, power, and love. Our God is an awesome God. Our God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above with wisdom, power, and love. Our God is an awesome God. Our God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above with wisdom, power, and love. Our God is an awesome God. So I stand with arms high and heart abandoned in awe of the one who gave it all. I stand, my soul, Lord, to you surrendered all I am is yours. Sing it out. I stand with arms high and heart abandoned in awe of the one who gave it all. I stand, my soul, Lord, to you surrendered all I am is yours. All I am is yours. I am is yours, Jesus. All I am is yours. Every single thing I am is yours. Our God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above with wisdom, power, and love. Our God is an awesome God. Our God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above with wisdom, power, and love. Our God is an awesome God. Our God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above with wisdom, power, and love. Our God is an awesome God. Our God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above with wisdom, power, and love. Our God is an awesome God. Our God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above with wisdom, power, and love. Our God is an awesome God. Our God is an awesome God. Our God is an awesome God.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Do I need to?
Back now.
Too late, Pastor.
Amen. Hallelujah.
No?
Not yet. Oh, yes, we're still lying.
Crystal, you guys come up.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
We have a couple of guests here at Soldiers for Christ. Where'd you guys come from?
Houston, Texas.
Houston, Texas. I hope you flew. Did you drive?
It was a long walk.
he got there. See, not only do we have the same gray hair, we have the same gray hair.
We have the same gray hair. Yeah, we're both funny. Okay. Introduce yourself.
I'm Crystal.
My wife, Crystal Rivera. David Rivera.
Crystal and David Rivera. Crystal also makes the jewelry that my wife has, which packed up into storage things right now. But yeah, she wanted, just like, oh, I wish I could wear it this week. But finding it right now would be pretty crazy. So I want to thank you guys for coming so far, and then being part of the service. And I'm going to have Crystal pray me in, okay?
Yes, please.
And then and we're going to get started, okay?
Yeah.
All right.
Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you today, and we thank you so very much for this time together. We ask you for grace and mercy upon everyone here to open our eyes and ears to hear this message that Pastor Sandy's about to give. Lord, he has blessed so many people, and we pray many blessings with your will over him in the name of Yeshua. I pray. Amen.
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 Thank you guys so much. You can be seated.
Yes.
They're part of our huge crowd today. Yes. Let's hear a roar.
Roar.
Okay. Thank you for the beautiful praise and worship.
Awesome.
Rashawn, you're a gift. Thank you. Yes. God sent you.
Yes.
Because God knows that I love praise and worship before the word. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Okay. And we are here, and I will get a couple things off my chest before I get started. Okay, first thing I want to get off my chest is, I don't go, you guys, what's that guy you watch? The Jewish guy with the miracle show.
Oh, Sid Roth.
Sid Roth, okay. I know nothing about Sid Roth. I don't know his heart, but I know he's had a few people on the show that are really demonic.
Right.
And yeah. So I stopped watching Sid Roth because the judgment in who he allows to come on there and speak to God's people is very immature. I remember he had Cindy Trim on there, who is, she practiced Kundalini, making people fall down. She's into the whole Kundalini spirit that Benny Hinn was into. And so after that, I said, okay, he has no discernment as far as, so now he has this guy on his show who says, I hear something, Pastor Ben, who says he sat and had a 5-hour talk. Jesus came and visited with him and stayed there for 5 hours talking to him. And he, you know, and Jesus let him know everything that's going on and how he's going to, in the next 11 years, how the church is going to experience a revival and you know, and the blessings are going to start to flow again. And I'm listening to him, and I said, well, you know, someone sent it to me, so let me listen to the whole thing so I can honestly comment on it, right? So it's almost at the end, and then all of a sudden they say, if you want to hear, because he said, the Lord told him to say this special prayer over the church of what's going on in these times now. So he says this prayer, and then they say, and if you would like to hear the rest of the prayer and the rest of the moment, his package, no, it's $39.95, right? It's $39, okay? So now this whole speech has been for the purpose of selling a package for $39.95, right?
Right.
So now, my thing is, we gotta be wiser, body of Christ, okay? Mm-hmm. If you talk to Jesus for 5 hours, one of the things he's going to tell you is don't try to package this up and sell it on TBN, right? That would be the first thing Jesus would say. I want you to get it out, and I'm going to help you get it out. Do not put your name on it and package it up and go on Sit Roth and try to sell it, okay? So that to me went, oh, okay. This is a hustle. I'm from South Central LA. I know a hustle when I see one. So I'm like, man, this is a hustle. Yeah. And now he's speaking a future 11 years for the church of revival and all this stuff that's going to happen, but we've got to pray away the coronavirus and we got to pray away the demonic spirits, but we're going to do it in 11 years or so, right? And I didn't get the whole thing, but if I want the whole thing, I gotta go and get for $39. And so as Christians, we can't be so gullible as to say, wow. Now, what does the Bible say about the next 11 years? The Bible seems to be headed toward rapture and headed toward the church leaving. So this whole 5 hours for this whole 5 hours, Jesus never said, oh, and by the way, I have a bride there and I am coming to get him. Right. He never mentioned that once, okay? Mm-hmm. So it's like, but, oh. Not more than one person sent it to me. The prayer is so important for these days. Listen to this guy. And I'm going, this is a lie and this is a hustle. Yeah. And do not send them $39. You don't need to hear the rest of it because there's going to be more lies, okay? Yeah. With that, I can now begin. Thank you, Father God, in Jesus' name, amen, for letting me get that off my chest.
Pastor, before okay. you begin, can you tell
me? Oh, okay.
These are...
I got to sign this now?
You have to, yeah.
I'll mention it, but I'll sign it after, okay?
Okay, you're going to mention it.
Okay, this is Patricia Washington's Certificate of Baptism. And they got baptized last Saturday.
Yeah.
And so Patricia Washington has been baptized in according to the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ at Soldiers for Christ Community Church on August 8th in Long Beach, California.
Yeah.
And that goes as well for Sheila Washington. You have them all in here, Pastor Ben?
Or
just the two here? Okay, so I'm going to sign these after and make sure that we get these to them. Okay. Praise God. Amen. What a wonderful day that was.
Amen. Wasn't it awesome?
Wow. I'm glad we did it last Saturday because yesterday nobody could get into the beach. It was packed down there.
Really?
Yeah.
God.
I was like, have you people heard about the 6 feet apart? And the... nobody. Everybody was hugged up, dancing, line dancing.
Line dancing.
It was, Pastor, I thought it was 4th of July. It was so many people down there. I kept going, this is crazy. Well, anyway, I shouldn't tell on them because they might shut it down now. Okay, the title of this message today is this. The rapture is coming. 2020, we're going to see some incredible things. And I hope the biggest of them that we see is us dancing on a cloud, preparing to go up higher so that we can have a crowning ceremony and a wedding feast with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now, I know that I'm hard to take for some people because they're like, oh, Pastor Sandy and the rapture. You know, some people love me. Pastor Sandy and the rapture, yes.
Yeah.
But people who are too connected to the world don't want to talk about the rapture too much because, you know, it's like, I just got a new car. I don't really want to be talk about it. I got adventures that I'm going to do in the future that I got planned for me, and I don't want. And I keep telling people, you are not the parent in this house.
Right.
You can make all the plans you want, okay, for you and your little friend Timmy, what you're going to do at the park. But if I say get in the car, we're leaving. You're getting in the car and you're leaving, right?
Right.
God is a parent. And when he says, get in the car, you're leaving, I don't care if you just bought a new car, a new house, you just got a new job, what your plans are, they're all null and void when the parent says, get in the car, we're leaving, okay? You are not an adult. There are no adults of God. We're all the children of God, okay?
Amen.
So be prepared to leave. So God is like, people hear you. They hear you talking about it. You give them common sense things, but they don't understand how well I've planned this. And if you don't show them how well I've planned this, they won't understand that the day is coming. Okay? I expect the lie to be dealt with before the end of this year. And the lie is the whole world's dying of COVID-19. That's the lie, okay? And there's 5 million people dying every week. And we gotta shut down. The lie will be dealt with, and that will be dealt with by God, because in Psalms 120, which is for 2020, it starts off by saying, Lord, deliver us from lies, okay? The next thing it says in Psalms 2020 is that the liars come against Israel to go to war against Israel. So I believe after we leave, Israel will see a war, and it will probably be the Gog-Magog war, okay? Because somebody's going to attack Israel, and someone's going to come and calm everything down. And when that person comes and calms everything down, they're going to think that person is the Messiah. And then that person is going to present to them a 7-year peace agreement, and then the tribulation will start, okay? Some people hear me, some people don't. And people have been talking about rapture for so long, but it has never, my thing is, show me the proof in the Bible.
Right.
If I can't see it in the Word of God, I don't care how many dreams you had. I don't care how many people told you they had dreams that were similar to yours. You got a word from a prophet, whatever. If it ain't in the Word of God, I don't see it, because I know that this book cannot lie, okay? That's why I don't believe in the next 11 years and the revival and okay, I'm back. I'm not supposed to be talking about that anymore. Okay. So, I want us to, we're going to go to the board, because this is what the Lord wanted me to show you today. And we're going to be here for a little while, because we have to see the intelligence and the strategy of God to do this in the time that he has planned since Genesis, okay? Because remember, Judgment Day, when Christ returns, it is a set day, okay? He has set a day for judgment. Therefore, if he has set a day for judgment, he has set a day for the wedding, because he knows when the judgment has to come. And the judgment comes 7 years after the wedding, okay? At least 7 years. Now, in the book of Matthew, when the apostles asked Jesus Christ, when will the end be? And what will be the signs of its coming? Immediately, Jesus starts talking about the 1900s. How do I know that? He starts talking about famines, pestilence, wars and rumors of wars. Then he says, nations will rise against nations and kingdoms against kingdom. There had never been a world war. That's why they call it World War I, 1914, right? So he starts talking about what's going to happen in the 1900s, okay? Now, everything about the 1900s is about what? The last generation. So Israel, every event that goes on with Israel happened in the 1900s. Because in Psalms 48, it says, when you see Israel rebirth, he says, go and tell it to the Lador HaAcharon. In Hebrew, it doesn't mean the next generation. It means the terminal, the last generation. So when God said in Psalms 48, verse 13, when you see the rebirth of Israel, go and tell it to the Lador HaAcharon, the last generation, he was talking about the generation that you're living in. Rather, it's Israel's last generation, or the generation of the righteous, which is 120 years, and Israel's generation, 70 or 80, but it through hard times, okay? So, I think that it is incredible that God makes the Bible have 66 books, okay? Because if you take in any Hebrew, you know there's 22 Hebrew letters, right? And since there's 22 Hebrew letters, we know what? That God chose 66 books because God is a Trinity. Please listen to me. If you are Jewish, the Tanakh was written And then God added the Brit Hadashah, the New Testament. Altogether, 66 books that God orchestrated to tell the world of his plan of redemption. Okay? 66 because 22 Hebrew letters plus 22 Hebrew letters plus 22 Hebrew letters is 66. So you have 66 books because God made 22 Hebrew letters. Okay? Now, it's incredible that if I start at the 66 books, which is Revelation, and I count backwards to Psalms, which is the 19th book, Psalms becomes the 19th book. So if I count backwards from Revelation, and I count 48 books backwards from the 66 books, it's going to be in Psalms. I'm going to land in Psalms. If I count forward from Genesis, 19 books, I'm going to land in Psalms. So in the 19th forward and the 48th backwards, Psalm seems to be giving us the center point of what God's going to do, okay? Psalms becomes the center of God's prophecy of end time prophecy, okay? Now, why did God choose Psalms to put all of these prophecies in? Because in Psalms, there's a prophecy for every year from 1901 till our present day, 2020. And so why did God choose Psalms? It's the 19th book of the Bible. But why is the 19th book of the Bible so important? This is why it's important. God saw that Adam was not doing too well. And if I didn't have a wife, I would have been sitting around looking like Adam. I mean, like, yeah. All these animals got lady animals. Now all you gave me is Rover. Can we please make me something that's equal to me that I can play, that I can have fun? And that would have been sad, because really, remember, Adam had named all the animals. He's like, we'll name that a bull. That's a female bull. We'll name that. And then, you know, you get to him, and then it's like, then it said God came and he saw that Adam had no one for himself. So God created Eve, okay? And God, remember, he's creating with what? Words. So he puts Adam to sleep, and then he creates Eve. He takes a rib from his side, and he creates Eve. The spelling of Eve is Chava, okay? Which is numerical value 8, 6, 5, 19, right? So Eve has the numerical value of 19. And so they're doing well, and Adam has told Eve, this is what we can do, this is what we can't do. I've been here before you. I already know the rules. God don't want to repeat itself. Let me tell you what we, the tree that's in the middle of the garden, we can't eat of that, okay? And this is what we do, and this is how we praise God, and we're in a day-to-day relationship with God. Now, Eve listens to Hanahash, the serpent, okay, in Hebrew. And the serpent is beguiling her because he's trying to get her to eat the fruit. And she finally eats the fruit, okay? And once she eats the fruit, her husband is next to her, and her husband says, she gives some to him, and he eats as well, okay? Now, the scripture says that Adam was not deceived, so why did Adam eat? Because he loved Eve and he didn't want her to die on her own. Why did Jesus die and take on our sins? Because he loved his bride and he didn't want us to die on our own. Understand? So God is telling you the prophecy of why this is happening. Because the first Adam is talking about a future Adam who's also going to be put to sleep. And what comes out of his side when he's pierced is going to produce his bride. Okay? So Eve becomes, in Genesis, the Semek. Semek means the helpmate, the support for Adam, okay? She becomes the woman who is going to be a pillar, a support in Adam's life. When Eve sins, now this is how you spell semek, that's support, okay? It's the 15th letter of the Hebrew alphabet. When you spell it out, the numerical value is 120. When Eve sinned, the whole world was put under sin. Not just Eve, Adam and Eve, sin had entered into the world, and now everybody after that is going to be born into sin because they let the disease in, right? So now everyone is born with sin in the whole world, okay? After this, sin has entered. God has made a plan to deal with sin, okay? So she sins, and her numerical value is 120. The spelling of her name is 19. So now it seems that God is going to make everything dealing with 120 a judgment, and everything that dealing with 19, the beginning of that judgment, and the beginning of the healing of that judgment, okay? So 19 and 120 becomes the numbers. How do we know that? Because after this, in Genesis chapter 6, verse 3, what does God tell Noah? I will not dwell with men forever, right? Their days shall be 120 years. Now, do you think God just said, let me think of a number of judgment that would be pretty cool? No, he's like, I have a pattern. Sin came into the world through the numerical value of 120. So in 120 years from the day when I'm talking to you, Noah, in 120 years, judgment is going to come. Because this is 120. So now Noah is waiting and he builds the ark. And now the judgment in the 120th year. He's 480 when he starts, and he's 600 when he ends, and now the judgment has come upon the whole world, okay, in the 120th year. So, why would Pastor Sandy say that Psalms 1 through 120 is going to announce the judgment? Because Eve is the 19th, is the numerical 19. So everything that comes with 19, you're now going to see judgment, okay? So God chooses Psalms to be that, those years to be the beginning of this judgment and the rapture of the church and the tribulation, and everything's gonna be found in Psalms. Okay, now, so we got 19 here. Let's go to the first judgment. Let's go to the next judgment. Let's go to Genesis chapter 19. Wow, look at that. Genesis 19 is about Sodom and Gomorrah. I wonder if God just happened to put it there, or if it 19 is really playing an important role right now, or God just said, "No, let's put the Sodom and Gomorrah judgment in book 19, because, okay, so now we have in Psalms 19, and this is what happens, okay? I'll start at verse 12. It says, the two men, meaning the two angels, said to Lot, do you have anyone else here, son-in-laws, sons or daughters, anyone else in the city who belongs to you? Get them out of here, because we are going to destroy this place. The outcry to the Lord against its people is so great that he has sent us to destroy it. So Lot went out and spoke to his son-in-laws who were pledged to marry his daughters. He said, hurry and get out of this place, because the Lord is about to destroy it. But his son-in-laws thought he was joking. Same as us. And God said, Pastor Ben, Pastor Sandy, tell the people to hurry up, get prepared, because judgment is coming. And they thought we were joking. And so therefore, everybody that you tell that the rapture is going to happen is not going to believe it, okay? Because I tell you, when people are attached to the world, they don't want to hear about what God's doing because God's not part of their plan, okay? Now let's continue this. It says, with the coming of dawn, the angels urged Lot, hurry, hurry, take your wife and your two daughters who are here, and you will be swept away when the city is punished. When he hesitated, the man grabbed his hand and the hand of his wife and his two daughters and led them to safety out of the city. For the Lord was merciful to them. Why was he merciful to them? Lot was a righteous man living in a bad place. And it says, as soon as they brought them out, one of them said, flee for your lives. Don't look back and don't stop anywhere in the plains. Flee to the mountain or you will be swept away. But Lot said to them, no, my Lord. He said, so Lot asked to go to a smaller city because it was not a short distance. So the angel says to him, okay, fine, you can go there. I won't destroy that city. Verse 21, I'm just trying to save time. He said to them, very well, I will grant this request to you too. And he says, I will not overthrow the town you speak of, but flee quickly because I cannot do anything until you do what? Till you reach the city. Until you get out of here, the angel didn't say, I don't want to do anything until you. He says, I can't do anything until you get out of here. And so you can't have somebody telling you that God is going to start destroying the city and the world is going to fall into tribulation while Lot is in the city. He's telling us, get out, be prepared to leave, because I will not start judgment until you get out of here. You understand? Yeah. So God is promising us, you're leaving, be prepared to leave. Now, one thing he told them, and this is is something that all Christians need to understand. When you come out of the world, you have what you have, bad memories, and you have good memories, okay? When it says Lot's wife looked back, I can't think of the Hebrew word now, but you can say, I gazed back and I saw what was going on. And then you can say, I looked back longing, yeah, longing for what I'm going to miss. And that's what she did. She looked back saying, I miss partying. I miss being with those people. I miss the things of life. So she was longing for her past, right? So this is why it doesn't just say, oh, she's running and she heard the bombs behind her and she just looked back. And no, the word says she gazed back longing. So she was looking in her past, like, this is something I'm going to miss the behavior of. And then she turned in a pillar of salt, okay? So when God brings you out, he's telling you, don't look back. Don't have great memories of sin. You understand? I know you had fun because it was your flesh, but don't you look back thinking about what a great time it was, because you were on your way to hell when you were having that fun. So God is saying, look, don't look back. Don't gaze back at it and think about the great times. Move forward because I'm leading you to life. All right. So this is what happened, and God says, this is the judgment. Let's put it in the 19th book. Why? Because Eve is numerical value 19, okay? So let's continue. Where's the other 19? Oh, and then, of course, we go to Psalms, right? And then we go in Psalms, and then Psalms is, no, this is the crazy thing. Psalms 1 through Psalms 119, there is no such thing, and they all get titles, like Psalm of this and Psalm of that. But when you get to Psalms 120, it becomes the Psalm of Ascent, the Psalm of Mi'alah, the Psalm of going up. Now, you count 119 Psalms, and none of them are the Psalms of Ascent. When you get to the 120th, now all of a sudden it's the Psalm of Ascent and going up. And then the next seven psalms are a perfect mirror of the tribulation from the beginning to the return of Christ. So it's like God is like, I'm showing these people exactly what I'm going to do in my scripture, and people still don't believe, and they still believe people who come on TV with new dreams and new things that they ways they want to make money using the gospel, okay? And God's saying, stop listening to that. Get in your word so you know exactly what I'm going to do and not what someone's dream is, okay? Yeah. Hallelujah. Yeah. So that's what happens in Psalms. Now, in Revelation of Psalms, it's the ending of sin. Because Psalms started where? Here with Eve, but that's in Genesis. Psalms 19 in the book of Revelation is the conclusion and the victory over sin. So let's read just a little bit of it. I don't want to read a lot because we don't have a lot of time. But in Psalms 19, it starts off saying hallelujah. This is the beginning of this psalm. It's a hallelujah psalm. But who comes? Jesus comes, and he's called the Word of God. On his thigh is written that he is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And who's he coming to deal with? He's coming to deal with the false prophet, the beast, and the dragon. And so in Psalm 17, it says, I saw the angel standing in the sun, who cried in a loud voice to the birds flying in the air, come gather together for the great supper of God, so that you may eat the flesh of kings, generals, and mighty men, of horses and of riders, and flesh of all people, free, slaves, small and great. Then I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against the rider on the horse. Who's the rider on the horse? Jesus. The false prophet, the antichrist, the beast, they're all gathering all the nations. We're going to fight against God. I was like, this is when our friendship is over. I'm not with you on this one, right? So it says, but the beast was captured with him, the false prophet, who had performed miracles and signs on his behalf, and these signs he had deluded those who had received the mark of the beast and worshiped the image. The two of them were thrown alive into the fiery lake of burning sulfur. The rest of them were not killed with the sword that came out of the mouth of the rider. What's this sword coming out of the mouth of the rider? Does the Bible mention a sword coming out of the mouth of God at any time? Yes. So they're fighting against God, who has a sword coming out of his mouth. And the sword comes out and he throws them both into the lake of fire. And then the first verse in 20 says he also grabbed the dragon and threw him into the abyss so that he can't deceive the nations for 1,000 years. So that's the end of sin. And when does it happen? Revelation 19. I think God accidentally put all of these 19s together. Okay? But God is telling you, I began judgment here. Where? The book of Psalms. I'm telling you everything that's going to happen. Look at what happened in Psalms. Okay, Psalms 1 to 120 is 1901 to 2020. The prophecies about Psalms, but here's a few of them, okay? Well, in 1906, something went crazy with Russia, and many Jews were trying to back Russia and join over to Russia's side, and then the guy deceived them, so God said there's going to be a judgment on them for doing that. But so it started in 1901. Then in 1914, what do you have? World War I, okay? Then in 1917, what do you have? The Balfour Accord. What's the Balfour Accord? They promised to give the land back to Israel. General Allen Bay won a war against the Turks and said, we're gonna give Jerusalem back to the Jews. That happened in 1917. And it's prophesied in Psalm 17. From 1939 to 1945 was Hasha'ah, the Holocaust. Every year of this, all six of these years, until you get to 1945, the Jews are crying out for help against an evil man. What evil man? Hitler. In 1945 will be the, in Psalms 45 will be the first time you hear the Jews praising God after Psalms 39. Psalms 45 is a praise to God, saying thank you for relieving us. And this is when the war came, and this is when it was over. So that's prophesied in the book of Psalms, the 19th book, because God is getting you to somewhere where the last generation, the terminal generation. So now, after that, in Psalms 47, the UN comes together and they decide we're giving the land back to the Jews. And that's in Psalms 47. At the end, it says all of the world's leaders are going to meet and make a decision for the people of Abraham. That happened in what? Psalms 47. So God, remember, these books are written long before 1947. So that means God already knows all this stuff was going to happen because we're on a cycle. Remember, this letter, Quoth, means a growth cycle. God has to go this complete cycle to get back to what? No more sin on the earth, me and man having a relationship. And so he's running the cycle, but he's trying to get back to where? Getting rid of sin out of the world. Now, 1948, Israel returns to the land and renames it Jerusalem. Psalms 1948. Psalm 67. What happened? Six-day war. That's in Psalm 67. It says, make yourself known to all the nations. And when all of those nations could have destroyed Israel, God protected Israel and won the war in 6 days. God made himself known. 1973, I believe it, the Yom Kippur War. God won that war. 1991, there was a Gulf War, and they shot Scud missiles into Israel. Not one missile hit them. So Psalm 91 was what? Protect us from the... So Psalms 91 came true because out of all the missiles that came, not one hit Israel, okay? They exploding in the air, they're falling in the water, but not one hit Israel, okay? So Psalms 91 is talking about what? The protection of Israel. Psalms, in Psalms 105, Gaza is forsaken and it's prophesied. But listen to what it says I'm gonna read. Let's go to Zephaniah chapter 2. And then I'm going to make a challenge to you guys so you can go and look it up yourself. It says, Zephaniah chapter 2. Gather together, O shameful nation, before the appointed time arrives, that the day sweeps on like chaff, before the fierce anger of the Lord comes upon you, before the day of the Lord of wrath comes upon you. Seek the Lord, all you humble of the land, you who do what he commands, seeks righteousness, seeks humility, perhaps you will be sheltered on the day of the Lord's anger. Gaza will be forsaken or abandoned. Ashkelon, which is a part of the Gaza area, will be left in ruin. At midday, Ashdod will be emptied and Ekron uprooted, okay? When they took over Gaza in 2005, what time did it happen? At noonday. They went into Gaza at noon and uprooted people out of their home at noon in the middle of the day, pulling Jews out of their houses, out of their synagogues, taking them to shelters and telling them your time living in Gaza is over. We're making a deal for peace and we're giving this land to the Palestinians. And you know who brokered that deal? Bush and Condoleezza Rice. And then 48 hours later, Katrina. And Americans were living in shelters and lost their homes, right? Because God was very upset about that deal, okay? So understand what's going on. God is prophesying every year. When did he start? He started telling you from 1901 to 2020 exactly what he's going to do and how the end is going to happen. So then you get to 2020 and, you know, I hate to tell people that the coronavirus is a hoax, because somebody will say, well, I had a friend that died. Like, I had a friend that really got sick. But let me tell you something. People die and get sick all the time, and they still are saying that more people died of the flu before the coronavirus than died of the flu since the coronavirus came. So people have always died of the flu. They have a number, like it was like 22 million died of the flu in I think like 2010 or 2011. But there's every year there's a number of people, especially elderly, that die of the flu because it is something that takes takes away the strength of a person. Now, more people died before than now, but now it's on TV more, and now they're doing something financially more, and then now, even if you die from your ankle got broken, you had a heart attack, you died of the coronavirus.
Yep.
And I'm telling you, look it up, there's a lady in Oklahoma right now trying to sue to tell them to take coronavirus off her husband's death certificate because he had diabetes. And if you have a real pandemic, you don't have to lie. And you don't have to use mannequins and put them on TV. And then somebody zooms in and looks at like, oh, look, they're using a mannequin. That ain't even a real person. You don't have to do that if you have a real pandemic. But we have this lie because the lie is about another war that's going on underneath of us that is a spiritual war. Because these demonic people want to continue their control over human beings, and they don't want people arresting them for pedophilia. So you don't really know what's going on underneath, and nobody wants to look at it. But it is happening, okay? And the war is over who's going to have control over human beings and finances. Now, they know what Trump is after and the 200 generals after, and what are they after? The control over the financial system of the world. They're going to make a currency, a digital currency, whether Trump wins or the bad people win.
Right.
Everybody wants a digital currency. They all want to get rid of paper. This is right in line with the book of Revelation. So everything is happening right in front of you. The things that Christians talked about years ago are happening now while you're sitting in your living room and watching. They're talking about things that Christians in the 70s and 80s thought, I wonder if this will happen someday. But now they're talking about it, okay? So all of these things happen, and now we're in the midst of this, and I'm gonna say people are so sensitive because I know people have gotten sick and everything, but I'm telling you, overall, this is a lie.
Yeah.
This is about more than a sick relative. This is about controlling people and controlling the economies of the entire world. Notice that it's not California, it's not America, it's Africa, China, Europe. Everybody's wearing masks. Okay, go anywhere in the world. Nobody's flying anywhere. Everybody's wearing masks, okay? So, with all of this evidence, and people like myself, some people have dreams, are telling the whole world, the rapture's coming, the rapture's coming, the rapture's coming. You go online right now, you'll see somebody saying the rapture, right? Do you think the world doesn't know about the rapture at all, or do you think they're just ignoring it? I think they're ignoring it. And Christians, this is what the Lord told me to say, and I hope I have enough time, Pastor.
10 minutes.
Good, that'll do. And I tried to back out of it. I'm in the room and the Lord says, for people who tell other people, once you're saved, you're always saved. And you don't have to worry about your sin because your salvation is sealed inside of you and it doesn't matter how much you sin. Because once you're saved, you're always saved. The Lord says, the person that puts that stumbling block in front of another Christian and that person misses the rapture and goes into tribulation, the person who preached it is also going to miss the rapture and go into tribulation. Because you put a stumbling block in front of your brother. Instead of telling him, hey, look, you doing what you're doing is not good. Stop doing it and repent because God is giving you the opportunity to repent because the rapture is coming. But instead of you telling that person that, you tell them, well, I know you're having trouble in your walk, but don't worry, the Lord is always with you and he'll always be with you. And don't worry, you're still going to make the rapture and you're still going to heaven because once you're saved, you're always saved. Jesus says in the book of Revelation, I hate the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, which taught people what? You can sin as much as you want because all the sin that you do brings on more grace from God. And then so therefore, more sin, more grace. So therefore you can sin as much as you want. Now, if you're preaching that and you're telling people that, God says the same judgment that comes upon the person you tripped and fell, the same judgment is going to come upon you because you placed a stumbling block in front of your brother. Okay? You cannot preach that. It is a dangerous doctrine. Like the guy who had the near-death experience, who was doing the cocaine, and he said, I went right into hell. He said, and in torment, I was in torment, I was in hell. And he said, I went to a church that taught me once saved, always saved all my life. And he said, when he came out of that near-death experience, he told everybody, that is a lying doctrine. I could have went to hell doing cocaine while I'm saying I'm a Christian, okay? So I'm telling you, it is a horrible doctrine, okay? Because in any relationship, your behavior has to change.
Yes.
Try to get married and keep going out. Okay? Try to get married and go away for 3 days and come back whenever you feel like it. Okay? Behavior changes when you get into a relationship. Okay? And I don't care how much she loves you, sooner or later your bags are going to be packed and they're going to be on the door because you entered into a covenant with God, and a covenant means you're coming into an agreement that you are going to study, read the word, and get to know God, okay? And here, let's read this and find out, because I can talk forever. We're in 1 John chapter 1, the epistle of John, 1 John, you know, John 1, 1 John, 2 John, 3 John. We're in 1 John chapter 1, and we're reading in verse 5.
Amen.
Now, listen. It says, this is the message we have heard from him and declare to you. God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with him, yet walk in darkness, we lie and do not live by the truth. But if we walk in light, he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. If we claim we have no sin, have not sinned, if we claim we have not sinned, we make him to be a liar, and his word has no place in our lives. Now, somebody says, well, he's talking to people that haven't accepted Christ yet. He's telling them to get saved. Okay, let's continue. Chapter 2. My dear children, now he's talking to Christians. I write this to you so that you will not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have one who speaks to the Father in our defense, Jesus Christ the righteous. He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not only for our sins, but for the sins of the whole world. We know that we have come to know him if we do what? Obey his commands. Wait a minute, this is in the New Testament. Do we have to obey the commands? It's the New Testament. We're saved by grace. Well, here's the New Testament saying, if you say you know him, you'll obey his commands. The man who says, I know him, but does not do what he commands is a liar. This is New Testament stuff. And the truth is not in him. But if anyone obeys his words, okay, obeys his word, God's love is truly made complete in him. This is how we know we are in him. Whosoever claims to live in him must walk as Jesus did. And how did Jesus walk? Read Philippians chapter 2. It said he walked in obedience all the way to the cross. And if you say you're like Jesus, walk in obedience until you meet with God. Desire righteousness, desire what God wants you to have, which is holiness, so that you can be there. Now, listen. Repentance is a gift. It is part of grace. What does grace mean? You've received unmerited favor, right? Repentance is unmerited favor. God don't have to forgive you. God supplied forgiveness for you through Christ. Talk to the angels for a little while and say, if you sin, can you ask for forgiveness?
They can't.
Say, no, nobody died for us. We're not under grace. You better do what I say, right? Because the angels that sin are in Tartarus. And in the book of Enoch, they wrote a letter asking God, oh, mighty God, we, the angels, have come together and we realized we were wrong. We should have never slept with women. And then they gave it to Enoch and say, take this to God and ask him if he'll forgive us.
Yep.
And God got the letter from Enoch and said, you tell them there's no forgiveness provided for them, and they will not be forgiven, and they will be cast down into Tartarus, and there they will stay until judgment.
Whoa.
Now, we don't have that. We have, Father God, in Jesus' name, I've sinned. I know I'm a Christian, but you know I still have a little anger problems, but I want to ask your forgiveness because I can do better. He forgives you of your sins, bring you back into right standing, and now you are in relationship again, right? But only because you have the gift of the grace of repentance.
Yeah.
Once you stop repenting and you start believing you can sin as much as you want and still be born again Christian, you are lying to yourself. And God says, you even call God a liar when you say you haven't sinned.
Yeah.
So I want people to know this, but I want others to know what the Lord said, because I tried to back out of it. I was like, well, I don't want to say it that hard, Lord. And I was like, why do you try? Why are you trying to say something softer than what I just told you?
Okay.
And I'm in the back, like getting the message ready. And he says, why are you trying to say something softer than what I just told you? And I went, forgive me, Father. Right? He said, you tell them what I'm telling you. If you cause somebody to miss the rapture because you're teaching them that they can stay in sin because once they're saved, they're always saved, you too will fall into the tribulation with them because you put a stumbling block in front of your brother. And that is a horrible thing to do to your own brother. I would tell anybody in the world to join a gang. Because I know if you join a gang, you end up prison or dead, right? So if I tell you, what am I doing? I'm just setting up a stumbling block because what I'm trying to ruin you? And that's what you do when you do that. I wanted to go over to here real fast. Okay. Did we do this already? We did this, Sodom and Gomorrah. We'll review it. Eve is the first 19. Next judgment, Sodom and Gomorrah 19.
Yeah.
Countdown to judgment, Psalms 19th book. End of judgment, Revelation 19. 15th letter of the Hebrew alphabet, Semek 120. First judgment, the flood. Second judgment, Moses died when he was 120 because he didn't do what God told him to do.
Yep.
But God didn't kill him right away. He says, no, you got to your 120 because that's when judgment falls. It starts here and we're going to stay on the cycle.
Mm-hmm.
Now we're at the 120th year and people don't want to believe the cycle. Then Saul becomes king and he rules in Israel for 40 years. David becomes king. He rules for 40 years. Solomon becomes king. He rules for 40 years, starts worshiping idols and having women and all this stuff, 300 wives. And God says, I'm kicking everybody out of Israel at the 120th year. They all three serve for 40. And at the end of 120, all of them have to go. So you got 120 judgment, 120 judgment. And now you're in the year of 120 and you go, yeah, but I don't think anything will happen. Okay, God said this. If you end up in tribulation, you will never be able to say that God didn't warn you. Because you know to live right, and you know you're in the year, and it's time to prepare to be ready to leave. Praise God. Amen.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.